This is the Jedi Praxium, brought to you by Arcadia Jedi Templar here at Anchor Radio, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever else you listen to your podcast. Hey, everybody, it's me, MJ, or MJ Hannigan, if you will, coming at you with another episode of the Jedi Praxium. Just a quick reminder, the Jedi Praxium was a name taken from the extended universe. It was actually what Luke called his Jedi Academy on Yavin 4. And we are going through closing concepts from the series that a lot of Jedi realists took and kind of mixed it into their own lives. And it's really how the Jedi realist community came to be. Now, the New Jedi Order series, just a quick refresher, was 19 novels, two ebooks, a couple short story concepts as well, written back in 1999 to 2003. In our time, I know something actually from the 1990s, pretty impressive. This was also 21 to 25 years after Return of the Jedi. So again, 14-ish years after Luke had his Jedi Praxium going. And the cool part about the New Jedi Order series was it wasn't just the story of Luke and Leia and Han and everything else was kind of backstory. No, the New Jedi Order series covered such a wide variety of characters, and it kind of gave us more of a world kind of concept of how people, how different the Jedi of the EU actually were. New Jedi Order series was also the third series of books after the initial Star Wars books. And when these books were written, they were written and released just before or just after Phantom Menace being released. So it's pretty cool in that regard. Now, after Return of the Jedi, there was the Heir to the Empire series, aka the Thrawn trilogy. After that, there was the Jedi Academy series, which had a lot of great lessons that we've talked about here on this podcast, as well as over at Jedi Realist Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, my personal favorite book was the book I, Jedi. What was cool about the book I, Jedi was it was a first-person point of view, and one of, I think, two or three times where they wrote that kind of book. And it was really awesome. And the cool part about the New Jedi, or excuse me, about I, Jedi, was that it was a first-person point of view. The first, maybe third of it, plausibly half, I'm not quite sure, was a first-person point of view from the Jedi part of the Jedi Academy books. Which, again, it was a remarkable book. I cannot recommend it enough. If you're new to Jedi realism and you want to kind of understand, our roots, I will always recommend checking out the extended universe books. And the first book I personally recommend is Jedi Academy, or I Jedi, excuse me. Jedi Academy was an awesome video game. All right, getting back to the episode. For today's episode, we're going to talk about five quotes or concepts that came from the second book of the New Jedi Order series, which was Darktide Onslaught. It was actually a really great book. It had a lot of great things to choose from, but I just wanted to go with five because I really wanted to chop this episode down to about 20-ish minutes. So please stick with me and we'll get through it. Oh, darn it, almost forgot. So I mentioned this in a previous episode and I'm going to mention it now. The fun thing about the new Jedi Order series was when I left Las Vegas and I moved to Kansas, I left Las Vegas being a complete drug addict, and I got to Wichita, Kansas with the hopes of sobering up and, kind of getting back to me a little bit. And the new Jedi Order series was there, and it was there for me, and I went through this series so many times during my first year in recovery, which is perhaps why I love this series as much as I do. But all right, getting on to today's episode. The first thing is there are two concepts we're going to kind of blend together. The first was from a Jedi named Tony, and it is the martial aspect of our tradition cannot be denied. I love this concept because when we first started talking about Jedi realism back in the mid to early 1990s, it was always a big thing of what martial art should we study? What's a good martial art? What's the best martial art? What's the most effective martial art? And the truth is, for all those questions, there's only one clear answer. And the clear answer is simple. The best martial art is the one that works for you. If it's a grappling art, if it's a striking art, if it works for you, then that's the one that you should practice. And the other thing about martial arts and martial art discipline is that you can't go and buy a black belt from a respected martial arts school. Yeah, you could probably buy a black belt online, but aside from an accessory, what value is that? Absolutely none. You have to earn a black belt in every martial arts style that is worth a damn. Any martial arts school that'll sell you a black belt is really not a school. It's just, I don't know, kind of ranks up with the earn your black belt online or earn your black belt from home program that you used to see in Black Belt Magazine, well, after Black Belt Magazine kind of outlived its usefulness. But martial art discipline, martial art practice, I don't care, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, karate, Shaolin Kempo, American Kempo, whatever it is. In most of these styles, it takes 3 to 5 years to earn a black belt. And it's not about getting that all-powerful black belt. It is about what you learn about yourself in those 3 to 5 years. You will learn very quickly that once what you once thought was your absolute best isn't. You're going to learn that you can push yourself harder than you ever thought possible. With classes and those tough classes, those grueling cardio classes that made you want to throw up afterwards, like most of us actually did. And it's also about not just what you learn in the dojo or in the dojon, it's about what you learn about yourself in life. In Taekwondo, we have five principles. The five principles of Taekwondo: courtesy, integrity, self-control, perseverance, indomitable spirit. Okay, good, I covered all of them. Those are tenets that you'll find most Taekwondo schools are going to follow. At least the ones that are associated with the Kukyoan. Some of them might be slightly different in the other ITF line or in the independent schools, but whatever. Each school, no matter which style you study, are going to have those principles. And it's not about having those principles simply in a dojon. It's about how do you practice those principles outside? How do you practice those principles in your everyday life, at school, at work, in your relationships, whatever? How do you practice courtesy? What does integrity mean to you? How do you practice integrity? Self-control, it's a big one. It's actually a concept I had to work on the most, particularly, as part of my recovery. Self-control, not wanting to go out and score. Wanting to remain sober, doing what you need to do to keep that going. That's what you learn in martial arts schools. You learn the blocks, you learn the strikes, you learn the poomsaes, the katas, whatever. You learn all that. You work on your physical paralysis. You get stronger, you get faster, your cardio gets better. But a traditional school is going to help you build your character. And help you, at least it should, help you to become a better person. All right, the next one that goes with that, it's actually not a quote, it's actually just a passage from the book. It's Myra and Corrin, long-term friends, each sought to push each other to their limits and relied on guile and skill and strength to do it. They shifted from defense to attack and through a myriad of each. The object was not to damage, but to force the other person to prevent damage. Basically, it's a sparring scene in a book. They're going at it with lightsabers, they're throwing some kicks, maybe a couple punches, whatever. And what I liked most about this is it does actually emphasize the point of how the martial aspect of our tradition cannot be denied. When you start martial arts, when you finally get into sparring, by that point, you know some blocks, you know some strikes. You're not really good at it yet, but you're gonna be. Sparring is a critical tool that every martial arts school should be doing. Because sparring is not a fight. It never will be a fight. It is sparring. Depending on how hard the sparring is. It might be just trying to make contact, whatever, until you get to more aggressive sorts of sparring, which again are fun classes that make you want to throw up, and most of us do. Sparring isn't about causing damage. It's not about hurting your partner. You don't want to hurt your partner. But you do want to push your partner to a higher degree. You want to push your partner to become better at it. In truth, I used to love sparring. Rephrase, I used to love being a sparring partner for the lower ranks at my taekwondo school. Not because I wanted to bully them. In fact, I barely threw strikes. And for me, it was about letting the other person kind of take control. Letting them get on their attack, maybe throw out a couple quick, kicks or whatever to back them up and to see how they would respond. And after, a minute or so of doing that, kind of read them, see what combinations they throw the most, and then try to put my body in such a manner that they cannot throw those combinations again. And to push the tempo, to push them to spar at a higher degree. To push them to change it up, to change their stances, change their tails of when they're going to kick, to change so they're not throwing the same boring combination over and over and over again. That's the point of sparring. I used to enjoy doing that with the lower ranks. When I sparred with people who are higher than me, then the way I would spar would be completely different. I'd be a lot more aggressive. I wouldn't be so defensive in my sparring stances. I'd be more aggressive. I'd be pushing the tempo myself. So, it's kind of finding the middle ground. Now, when you talk about sparring, we're talking about hard classes. You're talking about catching strikes, catching hands, catching feet, knees, elbows. Probably, in case I missed anything, probably caught that too. And it sucks. It really does. Like, there's nothing necessarily fun about sparring. It's just part of the training, and you got to get used to it. You got to do it. And you got to get hit a few times. You have to see what it feels like to get hit and to see how you're going to respond. But again, you're not trying to knock out your sparring partner. You're not trying to break their arm. You're not trying to choke them unconscious. You're pushing them. You're finding where they're at, and you're pushing them to a higher level. And that does take skill. Obviously, it also takes strength because if you have no strength behind your kicks, behind your punches, then they're not going to be nearly as effective as they could be. And also with sparring, you are working on your endurance. And trust me, there are times that sparring sucks, particularly when it's like a 5-minute round and you are just gassed out, and then your next partner is a fresh opponent who hasn't sparred anybody that day. And they're coming at you with a full gas tank, and you're like almost empty. Like that's the cool thing about sparring is that you have to, adapt and overcome. You have to say, okay, cool, this is a fresh opponent. They have energy. They're ready to come at me. What am I going to do? How am I going to keep myself from getting hurt? And, that's the glorious part about it, and it works. All right, the next quote or part passage we're going to take out is. This one actually comes from Luke, and it is, that is what scares me the most. Fear, terror, pain, envy, contempt. They are all of the dark side. This is actually really true, and I love that how they brought the dark side into things. These are all very dark emotions. And for me, light side, dark side arguments are kind of mute. There is no absolute light, there is no absolute dark. When I deal with my dark side, these are actually the things I deal with. In fact, I ended up dealing with a couple of these last night. Let's read it again. This is what scares me the most. Fear, terror, pain, envy, and contempt. They are all of the dark side. You know, fear, we all know, has two different meanings. It means fuck everything and run, or face everything and rise. Meaning, when you deal with fear, how do you deal with that situation? Are you going to say, screw it, I'm done, that's it, I'm not going to go any further, because if I do, these negative or harmful things might happen to me? Or do you say, okay, cool, this is the obstacle, this is what I have to overcome, and I am not going to let, fear bother me. I'm going to rise above it and, push on to a different level. Kind of goes with the whole fight or flight. Actually, it's technically it's fight, flight, or freeze, but it kind of goes with that mentality. When you have to deal with fear, are you going to let it cripple you, or are you going to take it up a level and say, cool, this is where my fear is. I'm going to overcome this fear and face something different. Terror kind of goes with that. Pain, yeah, dude, pain sucks. Physical pain. Physical pain is the only real pain that we can get over. 100%. Yeah, I broke my arm. They had to reset it. That sucked. That hurt. There was a lot of profanity involved. Definitely adult language was definitely there. And I was a 12-year-old kid, and I'm surprised I got away with half the stuff that I said. And then, like a week after they reset my arm, they figured out that, hey, the bone slipped out of place, so we're going to put some screws and pins in your arm. And that surgery didn't quite hurt because I was knocked out, but for like 2 or 3 days after that surgery, there's definitely a lot of pain involved. Now, the one pain that is the hardest to deal with is emotional pain and mental pain. There are some people who talk about, time heals all wounds, and that's kind of true, but it's mostly false, at least in my opinion. Where it's kind of true is that through time, the pain of somebody who passed away does lessen. That's true. There, through time, relationship wounds will slowly start to go away. But the truth is, they really don't. What happens is, time does kind of help your body, not your body, excuse me, it helps your brain readjust to things where you will start blaming the other person for your problems. You'll start, going through the motions, so you're like the victim of the story. And that's where it's actually dangerous. For me, dealing with mental and emotional pain, I want to deal with it head on. I don't want to give it time. I want to deal with it, because if you give it time, you're going to cause yourself a lot of damage, and you're going to end up damaging the next person you're in a relationship with. So you kind of have to face it head on. You can't just say, I'll give it time and really not do anything. If you're going to give it time, at least work on yourself. Don't just say, I'm working on myself. Actually go through the process and do what you have to do to get out of that mindset. Because if you allow that pain to carry over within your life, it's going to cause you nothing but more heartache and more strife, and it's going to take you to a darker level than you might want to deal with. Envy, being honest, I was kind of going over this in another part of my life. Envy is kind of weird to me because I actually don't understand. There are people in my life who have much better things than I do. They have nicer houses, they have nicer cars, they kind of have their stuff together more than I do. And, I celebrate people's success. I'm not envious by it. I will look at people and, say, you know what, it'd be nice to have that. And instead of being envious and just, that person doesn't deserve this, that person doesn't deserve that relationship, whatever, I just look at myself and say, okay, cool, how can I get that? If it's something I really want, what do I have to do to get it? Maybe talk to the people and ask, hey, how did you achieve this? What were you doing, that helped with that? And most people who are successful will definitely give great advice to other people to help them get up to that level, or perhaps even level up over them. So envy is really something I don't deal with. And contempt is kind of like, when you do for others constantly and you get upset because people don't do for you. And instead of telling people that, hey, this is the problem, you let it build and build and build until you explode. You know, don't have contempt for people in that regard. You know, if you're upset with somebody because of something that they're doing, then speak with that person and deal with it. You know, example, last night, you know, being truthful, I had a really difficult night. Just kind of going through my messages. And I realized that I have a good number of people who are in my DMs who they send me messages because they want something. And to be honest, that really irritates the hell out of me. You know, if you're going to message me, you know, message me. If you want to be part of my life, then, you know, send me a message. Send me hello messages. I legit will, like, if I'm watching videos, I find something funny, I'll send it out to my friends. If I haven't talked to a person for a hot minute, I want to make sure they're okay. I'll send them a message like, hey, so and so, just checking in, everything going good, everything well, you know, whatever. I admit I do not reach out for help. Just truthfully, that is a character defect of mine. I will deal with everything internally, and you know, it kind of goes with the concept of there's nothing stronger than a broken man who has rebuilt himself. You know, I did kind of go with that concept. But, you know, if you need a ride, cool, I'm good. I'm there for you. You know, you gotta get to an appointment, you have to get to a meeting, you know, whatever. I will definitely go above and beyond to help my friends out. But there also comes a point where it's like, dude, the only time you message me is because you want something. That's not a healthy relationship. That's not a healthy friendship. That's really not a healthy situation that you should put yourself in. You know, I literally had to go through my friends list and unfriend a good number of people because it just seemed like, you know, that was the situation. And again, I'll do a lot for people, but, you know, I am not one who's going to give out money willy-nilly. It's just not going to happen. And two, dude, if I am, you know, asleep and it's late, I'm probably not going to leave my house. To give people rides, you know, that are non-essential. You know, it's just, it's really, it's not going to happen. So before I got to the contempt phase of that, you know, I kind of nipped it in the bud and I sent out a couple messages and kind of dealt with that situation. And that's what we need to do. When there's a problem, deal with it. Don't let it go to the back burner. I was talking to my friend Brett years ago. And we're talking about the back burner and how food will eventually spoil when you leave it on the back burner for too long. You know, I'll deal with dishes tomorrow. Leave, put it on the back burner, I'll deal with it tomorrow. And then you get home, you don't want to deal with it. So the next day, you don't want to deal with it. And then the third day, you're like, what the hell is that smell? Well, that's that nasty ass spaghetti that's been sitting out for 3 days. So again, don't put stuff on the back burner. Don't let that contempt kind of take over in your life. All right. The fourth concept to discuss is the Jedi were on a planet. They were getting ready to defend it, and part of this planet was, or part of the rules for this battle was, if you're going to fight on this planet, you have to be accepted by the planet, and by being accepted by the planet, you had to kind of make yourself vulnerable and talk about a character defect that you were willing to let go of. To send that energy out to be embraced by the universal life source of this planet and its deity, kind of weird situation. When in any event, one of the Jedi named Ganner said, I'll ditch fear. All my life, I have been afraid of failing my father, my wife, my children, and my friends. Failure is not part. Well, let me try it again. Failure is not part of this mix here. So fearing it is, so fearing anything is pointless. All right, I did not read that right. So anyway, he's talking about failure, which kind of goes back to the other concept of face everything and run, or forget everything and run, or face everything and rise kind of concept. But that's actually a valid point to discuss a little more in detail is failure. I am not afraid of failing in a project that I do. It's really not part of my vocabulary. If I do not succeed, that is fine. I will find a way to succeed later. Like, hey, you know what? This attempt didn't work. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? And kind of go from there. I mentioned this earlier on another episode was I'm not afraid of failing in my recovery. I'm not afraid of a relapse. I am just not. You know, I'm not gonna go every day and wonder, am I gonna get high today? You know, A, I don't let the thoughts really enter my mind for very long. B, I know that I have a great support system that is there for me before I get to that final moment of breakdown and end up relapsing. You know, I am not going to allow failure, fear to control what I do in my life. You know, I'm going to keep doing me. I'm going to keep pushing myself and, you know, doing what I do, which does put me in some very difficult situations. You know, I deal with intoxicated people on a regular. I have two hits of Narcan in my car just in case I might need it for somebody. You know, that's just part of me. I'm not ashamed of being a recovering addict. I'm not afraid of being a recovering tweaker. You know, I'm not. You know, my brothers and I had this conversation and they were kind of weirded out by my response to it. Like, you know what? I did it. I own it. This is what I've become. And I'm not ashamed of that because what I went through all those years ago made me the person I am today. So I'm not afraid of failing my family, and you know it doesn't work for me. I'm not ashamed of what I've done, and I'm going to keep pushing myself. I'm going to remain in my recovery. I'm going to, you know, keep pushing myself at the gym. I'm going to keep pushing myself in martial art classes. I'm going to keep pushing. Fail of failure or fear of failure is just really not in my vocabulary. One day I might have to eat those words and yeah, we'll see. All right, last concept I want to quickly come across, so the number 5 point was from a Jedi named Qorin Horn, also the book from, or the main character from the book I, Jedi. It's actually a really simple concept. Be yourself and set an example. This is one thing I believe we miss in Jedi realism. We have some people in our community who are great examples of Jedi realism. They are great examples of how they've taken this path and how they made a life out of it. Unfortunately, we don't really have this. You know, in my own life, I have to set an example of who I am and what I'm about. If people, you know, like that about me, great, welcome to the club. If you don't like that about me, okay, great, you do you. I'm not going to stress over people not liking me. What I am going to stress over is every day when I wake up and I go through my routine, you know, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to do my meditations, I'm going to do my readings, I'm going to talk to people, and I'm going to set an example of who I am and what I'm about. If people want to talk to me about Jedi realism, great. You want to talk about recovery, great. You want to talk about, you know, martial arts, great. You know, I believe I am a great ambassador or representative of those concepts. In fact, I guess I am an ambassador of Jedi realism due to Jedi Realist Radio, due to Arcane Jedi Templar podcast, and due to the American Jedi documentary film. You know, every day I wear Jedi something t-shirts, combination of the three. Jedi Templar, American Jedi, Jedi Realist Radio. I wear those shirts constantly. Why do I do that? Well, for a couple reasons. One, it is to remind me that if I'm wearing these shirts and I am rude and disrespectful and whatever, then I'm making my whole organization look bad. You know, I'm making Jedi Realist Radio look bad. I'm making Arcane Jedi Order look bad. I'm making American Jedi look bad. You know, it's a constant thing. And two, they are great conversation starters. Trust me, Every day I get stopped by people who ask me, "Hey, what's American Jedi?" I'm like, "Well, hey, American Jedi is a documentary film. You can find it on Tubi. This is kind of what it's about. It's about these three individuals, one of which is a, don't know how to put it, so I'm not going to say anything. The other is about a Marine and some hardships that she had. And the third of the characters is about myself and about how Jedi realism has been a soul, not a soul, not soul is not the right word, but how Jedi realism has been a main, has been one of the main components of my recovery process, and how I apply the concept of Jedi realism to my recovery, how I've applied it to all aspects of my life, and how, you know, in truth, I do not. I try to compartmentalize everything about my life. Like, this is my Jedi realist life. This is my recovery life. This is my family life. I do try to compartmentalize it, but truth be told, there are times where I don't know where one of those paths end and the other ones begin. You know, the principles of martial arts, the principles of Jedi realism, principles of recovery, all go with the principles of Reiki. You know, they're all connected to me. So trying to find where one ends and the other one starts is can be a bit of a challenge. But either way, you know, I do try to set an example. When I'm talking to people, I try to set, like, this is what Jedi Realm is about. If I go to a meeting, somebody asks me questions, you know, I do what I can to answer the questions. I do what I can to show that I live these principles in my life, not just, you know, with this fellowship, not just at this Jedi group. You know, it really is a combination of things. And the only thing I can do is set the best example that I can. If people are interested, they want to learn more, then do the damn thing. If people are not interested, cool. It's okay. If you ever, you know, need anything, anybody talk to or whatever, give me a call. But in any event, that's pretty much it for this episode of Jedi Praxium. Again, the book Dark Side, well, try it again. Dark Tide Onslaught. It was the second book in the New Jedi Order series. And I cannot recommend enough checking out those books. But, you know, it is what it is. If you're interested, check it out. If you're not, that's cool too. But truthfully, you'd probably have to find most of the old EU books on the Kindle app, because at the bookstores, they really just don't have them anymore. You might be able to find them on a used bookstore. But again, I would go with the Kindle app. But also at the same time, my Kindle app is absolutely ridiculous with books. A couple last minute reminders, I guess, would be a way to word it. Arcane Jedi Templar is always going to be free. Jedi Relics Radio content is always free. But if you do want to subscribe, or not, actually, yes, if you want to do us a favor and subscribe on the Spotify app. We're trying to break the algorithm. This is a really small niche concept. Jedi realism is small. Recovery is small. Martial arts is small. And podcasts about those topics are not well promoted, because we're not talking about political commentary. We're not talking about, you know, trendy stuff. We're talking about really small markets. So we're trying to break the algorithm. So if you give us a subscribe, you know, at Spotify, at iTunes, or whatnot, we'd really appreciate it. Now, if you do want to donate to the channels, there is a thing you have to go to the Spotify app, and it's like 99 cents a month, 99 or $9.99 a month, you know, whatever. If you want to donate to us, we'd definitely appreciate it, and it'll help us to get some other programs that I'm desperately trying to get started going. And again, if you want to donate, great. If you don't, great. You know, either way, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep the message, and we're going to keep passing it on. Other than that, if you do have any interest in Jedi realism, if you have not checked out yet, definitely check out Unified Jedi Facebook group. That's actually one of the groups I'm a moderator at, and I guess one of the groups I technically started through a roundabout way. Or also check out Arcane Jedi Academy Coffee House. My friend Alan, that's his order. I am a master of that order, but it's not my order. So, you know, I try to represent them well. Sometimes I don't. but either way, I'm doing my best. But also, again, if you're interested, they have a great solid program there. If you're interested, check it out. Other than that, thank you very much for listening. Thanks for following the podcast, for all these years. I really appreciate that. And I guess might as well throw it out there. Go check out American Jedi on Tubi and tell Lauren I said hello. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Remember, one voice does make a difference. Love and light to the Tanigan. I'm out.